let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art.
Kia ora, and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Adam, proudly brought to you this month by Foolish Wit Theatre Company. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz or find us on Spotify. Tonight, we are back live in the studio with Emma and Adam as Stephen is still doing mahi out of town. We have three superb guests talking books, musicals and festivals, but to kick it off, all the way from Otatahi, Christchurch, is TJ Shand with their brand new single, The Deadpan Break.
Yeah.
Well, that was TJ Shand, who has just dropped that single literally, I think, yesterday. So check them out. Hey, Adam, it's cool to be back in the studio with you.
It is great to be back, Emma.
Do you know what's really cool?
What's really cool?
Well, because it's you that's here, I'm not sitting there panicking about having to operate the desk. So thank you very much for being my Mr. Music Operator / Audio Person tonight.
Absolutely. Love to do it.
So what's been happening in your life over the last few weeks?
Oh, not much. Not much. Mostly just same old with work and everything like that. What about you? You've just been in London?
I have been in London. So many of our listeners will know that I've been off air for the last 2 weeks. Stevens and Tauranga are still doing Jersey Boys. But yeah, I had the pleasure of going to London and there were 3,500 kids at the Junior Theatre Festival in Europe over 2 days, and I adjudicated and taught some workshops, and I ran some international all-star auditions for kids from around Europe to be part of the international all-stars to go to Atlanta in January.
Oh, wow, so you've been busy all over the place.
Sure have, and then I came back. And how silly was this to schedule a show the week after I come back? And in studio tonight, how was that segue? Did you like that segue?
That was great.
I thought it was a good segue. Anyway, so in studio tonight, we've got a few guests, but first of all, we've got three students from the cast of Stage Antics 13, the musical. Kia ora, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
So let's go down the line and get you to introduce yourself.
My name is Charlie Hill.
And you're playing?
I'm playing Evan Goldman.
And?
I'm Anka, and I'm playing Kendra.
I'm Libby Stanger. I'm playing Lucy.
Fabulous. And then joining them in studio, with the launch of her debut junior fiction book, is Lauren Middleton. Kia ora.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Great. So, a bit different. Well, we're all talking youth things here, aren't we? So, first of all, let's start with you, Lauren. So, tell us a little bit about Pippa and the Sheep Snatchers.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I love that I'm included in the youth factor of that, because I'm actually 26, but we'll go with youth. Yep, love that.
Well, you're writing for youth is what I mean, though.
Yes, you're right. Actually, you're right. So Pippa and the Sheep Snatchers is a children's book for ages 8 to 12. It's about a little girl called Pippa who's 9 years old, and her best friend is a sheep called Lulabelle. And the villains are Gumboot Gary and his sidekick Digger Dan, and they snatch sheep from farms around Dargaville and sell them to the highest bidder, and Lulabelle gets caught up with that. So Pippa, with the help of an ex-professional weightlifting policeman, Mike Tejeda, they manage to, you know, try to rescue Lulabelle and save the day.
So where on earth did the idea for writing a book about sheep snatching come from?
Yeah, I actually really don't know. I feel like I have my best ideas when I'm doing something super random and not creative at all. So I think I was just on a walk and I came up with the idea of the character Gumboot Gary. I have no idea where sheep snatching came from. Maybe some dark recesses of my brain. I don't know.
Now, I reckon, though, that this sounds like something that could easily be turned into a musical. What do you reckon, guys? Does it sound like something that you could imagine music set to?
Yeah.
So, Charlie, let's jump to you. Tell us a little bit about what is 13 the musical? Oh, they had it planned. I've foiled them. We can jump back to Libby if you want to.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, Libby, tell us. What is 13 the musical?
13 the musical is about young Evan Goldman's journey from New York City to a small town in Indiana due to his parents' divorce. He has the aim to befriend everyone at his new school as he aims to have the best, most memorable bar mitzvah. And along the journey, he navigates the complicated social circles of a new school. 13 is filled with fun and crazy twists that will leave you at the edge of your seat.
So as you can tell, that was a bit of a synopsis there. So, Charlie, tell us in your own words, what is 13 the musical?
Well, 13 the musical, I think, is a musical to show what being a teenager is like, of the whole process of growing up. And it follows Evan Goldman, who's a 12-year-old boy, and he has to battle with trying to find out who he is, but also trying to fit into a new community as well.
And tell us, Libby, a little bit about your character that you play.
Lucy is a fierce diva who will stop at nothing to get Brett.
Let's tell us in your own words. Come on.
Lucy is a pretty sassy character. She loves to cause drama, definitely. And she's very jealous of her best friend Kendra, as she has the boy she wants.
Oh, now tell us, Anka playing Kendra. Have you ever been in this situation with a friend? Have you fought over a boy before?
No, I have not.
So what is it like then playing a character if you haven't had the lived experience of that, the thing? What does it mean for you as an actor?
I think it's quite fun to like dive into different characters, especially like Kendra, because I think she's quite different to who I am in real life. So I would definitely say that I'm very grateful and very excited to be playing Kendra next week.
Awesome. Now tell me, both of you play cheerleaders. So what's that been like? I mean, obviously, Libby, you're a bit of a dancer. So what's it been like playing a cheerleader?
Scary.
Yeah, it's a lot different to dance, but especially because there's some moves there that are just like very far from anything like technical dance wise. So yeah, it's a bit of a push, but it's really fun.
Cool. Now we'll jump back down to you, Lauren. Have you ever done anything theatre wise or anything out front there?
Yeah. So I actually do acting as well. That's kind of how I got into writing, because it's so hard to, you know, get cast in things like TV and screen and stuff. So I just wanted to create my own project, and for some reason that turned out to be a book.
So acting, straight acting in stage and screen rather than musicals?
I get massive stage fright when it comes to singing. So I always like to audition for musicals that don't have a massive singing role in them. So I mainly stick to theatre, not musical theatre, but, you know, we'll change it up sometime, hopefully get cast in a musical.
Fantastic. And now, Charlie, tell us, what does it mean being in a musical for you?
Ooh, well, it's this big fun experience because, yes, there's performing on stage, singing and dancing, but it's an amazing community and really inclusive, and I just love the overall vibe that being in a musical is, and it's great fun.
So, Anka, tell us, what brought you to 13, the musical? Why did you decide to be a part of this?
So I've heard a lot about Stage Antics and about the amazing shows they do. And I knew the movie 13 the Musical, and I've heard quite a lot about it. And when I saw it, I texted Libby and I said, "Hey, Libby, let's do 13. And yep, our parents signed us up and here we are.
Tell us, Libby, have you seen the Netflix version of 13?
I had never seen it until Anka told me to watch it. Like, I had signed up to 13 the Musical, but I still had no idea what it was about until Anka forced me to sit on the couch and watch the movie. But I actually loved it, and reading through the script, I love it even more.
So what do you think, though, the comparison between that? I mean, because the Netflix one is kind of a live-action version of it, isn't it? Do you think it's a good representation of it, or do you think... Give us a review.
I would definitely say it's quite different. I would definitely say the Netflix version is more aimed at younger kids. When I was describing like 13 the Musical, I said there's a lot of adult humour in the show, and it's like quite more aimed at like people who are older, like more experiencing, more telling the story about like younger 13-year-olds and what they might be going through. But I definitely think it's quite different to the Netflix show. If you look at the script and you look at the Netflix show, it's quite different.
So given that, Charlie, what do you think for people that are coming along to the show? Do you think there is a limit on how young people should be that are coming to it?
I think there definitely should be, because a lot of the language isn't great for younger audiences. But I would say I don't think I'd be able to give a specific age, but yeah. Not.
I mean, we've got 12-year-olds in the show, so, you know, I think that would be okay, don't you?
Yeah. Like, all of the adult humour is quite covered up. Like, it's quite hidden in the words, so not many young kids would understand.
But the music, I think, is something that the young kids will really enjoy, right? It's got that real pop feel.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. All right, let's jump back down to you, Lauren. So tell us a little bit. This is your first book. So what's that been like? Like, what was the process like being your first one?
Yeah, so this is my first one that's published, but I have written one before that. So I wrote that during the COVID lockdown because I was bored. For this one, yeah, it's been quite a long process. I wasn't really sure how much was involved, but basically I sent the book off and the publisher said yes to it. And then, yeah, it was like a year before it finally got made, and we had to go through getting an illustrator and things like that. So the very talented Robin Glendinning has done all of the illustrations, and I'm really glad that we found her because they've really added so much to the book.
I was just going to ask you, like, what is the process like trying to find an illustrator? Because you don't get to choose as such, do you?
I did, actually. They sent me a full list of people and, you know, let me have a look and choose which one I wanted. She was actually new, so I think she just approached them, you know, because she'd never done a book before and she wanted more illustration work. So, yeah, I picked her because she had some, like, fun, kind of sort of messy, like, very characterful illustrations, and I wanted that sort of Quentin Blake sort of kind of messy style.
So when you think back to your childhood and the books you liked, what were the kind of books that would have been on your bedside table?
Yeah, I definitely think this one would fit in with the books that I would like. It's got a similar sort of humour to, not many people have heard of this one, but You're a Bad Man, Mr. Gum. It's got a lot of fun plot devices and things like that, like one-line chapters. It's got a whole list of villains and all their like idiotic crimes and things like that, and yeah, just silly, wacky humour.
And illustration-wise, does what Robin did fit into kind of the books that you like to look at?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they're super characterful. They're really detailed. There's lots of little gems in there. There's my favourite illustration is Dan has a shower, and it's one of the villains having a shower, and he looks really angry. He's got bubbles covering him everywhere, and it's just a really funny illustration.
Charlie, did you have a favourite childhood book that you liked?
I definitely loved The Little Yellow Digger. That was a personal favourite of mine.
And what about you, Anka? What was your childhood book?
My dad actually got me into reading The Famous Five, which I did really enjoy. But I also liked the Harry Potter. Harry Potter books were really fun.
Libby?
Mine was The Hungry Caterpillar.
I think The Hungry Caterpillar is a great book. What about you, Adam? Did you have a childhood book?
Oh, I think there's two that come to mind. So one was called The Library Mouse, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's about a mouse in a library. And the other was Harry McCleary at Donaldson's Dairy.
Oh, yeah.
I love that book.
Yeah, I think that's
yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about now being 13 and what I would have been reading at the time I was 13. And I think I was probably reading lots of, like, Sweet Valley High. Okay. And good old Margaret Mahe type books, but also Janet Frame was kind of really popular as a teenager. Random. But anyway, guys, if we were thinking about musicals, if we were to jump on your playlist for musical theatre, what's the main shows that might pop up or roles or songs, do you think? What would I find?
Mine would definitely be either Hamilton or Les Mis.
And what is it about those shows?
They just have, like, such good music. And because they're both all musical, like, all music shows, there's no dialogue. It's just, like, it tells a story just through the music. So you can just listen to, like, the soundtrack and get the whole idea of the musical.
Cool. Yeah, I agree. And Les Mis is pretty epic in a show.
Stephen's going to hate that Hamilton was just mentioned.
Yeah, Stephen's not a fan. No, he's not. Anka, what about you?
I would definitely say a lot of Beetlejuice. I love that musical so much. I would definitely say I love a lot of The Sound of Music. Because I used to listen to it a lot when I was younger, and I've done the show twice now, so I really love the music too as well.
Cool. Charlie?
Well, for me, I think my all-time favourite musical would probably be Legally Blonde. The music is amazing.
Cool. And do you have a favourite musical, Lauren?
I'm not sure. For some reason, Mamma Mia jumped into my head, but that's because ABBA is amazing. So.
Good choice.
Yeah, thanks.
I think it's just one of those shows that I don't think there would be anyone that would go to Mamma Mia or be around it that wouldn't know at least one of the songs.
Yeah, totally.
At least, if not all of them. Anka's actually just been in Mamma Mia.
Oh,
can we tell everyone that? There we go. Well, I think we should have a quick music break. And since we're talking about musical theatre songs, why not play a song from 13 itself? So, Charlie, do you want to tell us a little bit about A Little More Homework? Where does this fit into the scheme of things?
A Little More Homework is played at the end of the show, and it's showing that he has grown up, but also not fully, and the point of the lyrics is to say that I am growing up, but I do just need a little more time to figure out who I am.
Fantastic. Well, this is A Little More Homework from 13 the Musical.
If you stand here behind me and you call me a man, and you're counting on me to come through, you should know that I'll give you the best that I can. But we all have a little more homework to do. If you're walking beside me and you wanna be friends, you should know I'm depending on you. So you gotta hang in there till the whole story ends, 'cause we all have a little more homework to do. And I've been looking in the back of the book for the answers, hoping the bell wouldn't chime. But I'm not ready to put down my pencil just yet. There are too many answers that I didn't get. I need a little less pressure and a little more time. I'm trying to follow, I am trying to lead, I am trying to find what is true. But if you're gonna stand with me, then you have to concede that we all have a little more homework to do.
Today turns to day. You get a little bit older, a little bit taller, a little bit better, a little bit. Day turns to day. And the days before all go too fast. You can't hold on, so you go. Day turns to day.
I'm a little bit older, a little bit stronger, a little bit smarter, a little bit.
Day turns to day. And the days ahead coming on so quick, you can't get out of the way, you keep running.
Day turns to day. I'm a little bit older, a little bit faster, a little bit closer, a little bit. Day turns to day. And the sky goes blue and the sky goes black. And no matter what you do, you can't go back. You go day into day.
I turned 13, my parents got divorced, and I moved from New York City to the middle of nowhere.
Kissed a boy more than once. I turned 13 and signed a virginity pledge.
Day turns to day.
I was diagnosed with an eating disorder.
I failed math, but we won the championship.
And I'm a little bit braver, a little bit broader, a little bit brighter, a little bit.
I turned 13 and I had to have spinal cord surgery. God, that sucked.
Day turns to day.
I got busted for driving my dad's pickup.
Day turns to day.
I got drunk and I've been looking in the back of the book for the answers, hoping the bell wouldn't
little more time. I'm trying to follow. I'm trying to lead. I'm trying to learn what is true. I'm trying to be what you want and I need. And we all have a little more homework. We all have a little more homework. We all have a little more homework to do.
Oh, we cut it off. You better say it, Charlie.
My name is Evan Goldman. I live at 24 Plains Drive, Appleton, Indiana. I'm 13 years old, and I'm just getting started.
Yay! I was singing along really loudly, but Adam threatened to turn the microphone on if I didn't shut up. How rude is that? Stephen would be highly offended if he heard you told me to shut up.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so we're going to go down the line and we're going to talk about where your interest in the arts came from. So let's start down the bottom with Lauren. Tell us, where did it all start for you?
Yeah, I think my mum noticed that I was very loud child, and so she was like, oh, drama might be a good, you know, first step for you. So then, yeah, I went into drama classes and I loved them.
Cool. And then what about the writing? Like, were you into writing at school? Was English one of your subjects right the way through?
Yeah, I did do English right the way through, but that was pretty standard, I think. And yeah, I don't know where it came from, but I my first job out of uni was copywriting, and I've been doing social media and copywriting since. And so, yeah, I think I've always had a passion for writing.
Cool. I'm still really keen to look at what this the book might look like as a play. I think you should play with it.
Yeah.
You know, now that we don't have a Tim Bray turning books into plays for us, you know, there might be a gap in the market.
That's
to go
true.
To a company like Stage Antics and say, would you like to turn my book into a play? Hint, hint.
Capitalize on that opportunity.
There we go. Charlie, when did it all start for you?
I think for me, it was because my mum made me watch so many musicals growing up that I just fell in love with them, especially Singing in the Rain. I think I have seen that over 100 times. And then my mum said, oh, there's this company performing Little Mermaid. And I signed up immediately.
And was that National Youth Theatre?
It was, yeah.
And you've been doing shows with them for a while now?
I have.
So what have your key moments of National Youth Theatre been?
My key moments was probably in their recent show of Alice, I played Tweedledum. It was I was a big dice. That was a lot of fun. I love that.
And the funny thing about that, your other big dice happens to be in our show.
Yeah.
So the other big dice, who was Tweedledee, is Felix, who's playing Brett.
Yeah.
There we go. See, it's a small theatre world in Auckland, isn't it? We quite often end up. And of course, last year you were in Stage Antics.
Yeah.
Legally Blonde, Junior. So that was your introduction to Stage Antics.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us your journey, Miss Anka.
So, I've been singing a lot, like my whole life. I've always loved singing. And when I moved to New Zealand, my grandma actually told my mum that you should get her into musical theatre. I think she'd be really good. And so my mum saw an ad for Beauty and the Beast. And so my mum signed me up and I've just been hooked ever since. I was in 2018 or 19.
So when you arrived in New Zealand, where did you come from?
I was originally born in South Africa.
Right.
And I moved here when I was 7. And yeah, I've been here ever since. I love it here.
And what have your favourite onstage moments been since you started?
I would say my favourite role I've ever played was I had the privilege of playing Sandy in Grease with Libby, right, sitting right next to me. She got to play Rizzo, and it was so fun. We did Grease Young at Part, and it was such a highlight, for sure.
Cool. All right, Libby.
My theatre journey started when I was about 5, when my mum put me in dance classes. And ever since then, once I got on that stage, I just knew that I wanted to be there. And I loved feeling the spotlight, and I love telling a story to people because it makes me like really feel connected to the arts.
And have you got highlights?
Yes, also playing Rizzo alongside Anka in Grease Young at Part, but also I loved playing Brooke Wyndham in Legally Blonde. That was really fun.
Well, a pretty big challenge too, to be able to skip in time and not trip over that rope.
Yes, I got really fit during that. Practiced every day, but no, it was really fun.
And do you think, because for this show, for example, you're one of our interns, and that is as a dance intern. So do you think choreography might be something that you might be interested in going down that path?
I think so, yeah. I'm definitely looking into getting a teaching degree, so maybe going to schools and doing teaching for dance there. That could be really cool in my future.
Cool. And have you got any dance teachers that have inspired you, or choreographers that you specifically like?
I love my dance teacher at school, Miss Portucker. She's great.
What makes her exciting? Or
She just really connects with us kids. But yeah, it's really great, and I love her dance style and everything. Yeah,
fantastic. Cool. So tell us a little bit more about you've been doing the Instagram takeover today, the two of you.
Yes.
So while you've been busy rehearsing, what does that mean? What have you been doing?
For the takeover?
Mm.
So we have been posting a lot about behind the scenes of a rehearsal at 13. We did a warm-up with Libby. We posted a little snippet of that. We also got to ask some of the cast what their favourite memories from when they were 13 years old, which were really fun to hear. We did a little vlog on coming to the radio show tonight, and we did a little photo outside of Charlie, and we also put that up there. So, yeah, it was really fun.
How important do you think social media is for marketing shows these days?
It's very important because social media nowadays, it attracts so many people, and it's a great way to like get names out there and everything.
Mm. Lauren, you mentioned before that you've done social media. Are you into TikTok as well as Instagram and that?
I love Instagram. I'm sorry, I don't really understand TikTok. I don't know why. I just love Instagram. But yeah, I do marketing for a DIY embroidery kit company called Clever Poppy. And it's nice because they have got quite a lot of followers. So when I make stuff, it actually gets seen, which is very nice.
So when you're making stuff for a company, yes. Does that mean if it's a DIY embroidery company, so does that mean you embroider, or do you get other people to do it and you post what they've done with the kits?
Yeah, so I embroider, not amazingly, but all right. But no, the lady who runs the business, Julie Stewart, she's an incredibly talented embroiderer. So she does all the footage and stuff like that. But if there's any social trends and things like that, then I film myself, which is always fun.
Cool. Embroidery. Are you guys, any of you crafters?
I do want to get into crocheting. I have a kit. I just need to get started now.
It's the time, isn't it? Yeah. Craft of any sort, girls? Knitting, sewing, pottery?
No. I would love to. I'm just not very creative like that. I used to knit a little bit. My grandma taught me how to knit, but I haven't really done a lot since then.
I got into knitting during lockdown, during COVID, but I also got into like diamond art. You stick the little diamonds. Yep. That was quite fun. I still do that sometimes.
Mm. I went through a phase of the colouring in books, and I brought so many really cool, quite expensive coloured pencils, and some really cool books, but it's amazing how long actually crafting takes. And I think the biggest thing to be a good crafter, because I love craft and I love sewing, but because I don't have space to leave it out, it's that whole thing of packing it away. Yeah. And I think that's what's cool about crochet, is it's quite small generally. Like, you can actually take crochet with you, especially if you're going to do something that's like the Peggy squares and then put it together.
Yeah, embroidery, you can do that as well. You know, you put it in its box and take it away. But, I just struggled to get started with embroidery. Actually prepping it is the hardest part of it, I reckon.
Yeah. Okay, so jumping ahead now, Have we got any other books in the works?
Yes, so I am working on a horror right now.
That's a bit different. That's obviously horror. Not going to be a children's
horror. Horror, yeah.
Oh, a children's horror.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's like a mix between kind of, I would say it's a mix between Wellington Paranormal and Goosebumps. So
oh, yeah?
It's comedy horror, but it is horror.
Cool. Okay, and how far through that are we?
I am almost finished, but I have no time at the moment to write it because I'm so busy, you know, marketing this book, which is coming out on Tuesday. But after that, I'm going to devote a lot of time to doing that. And I've got another time-travelling book in the works as well.
And whereabouts are people going to be able to get this book on Tuesday?
Yeah, so it's in bookstores all across Aotearoa, and also you can get it at the Bateman Books website if you would rather order online, and they do free shipping.
Awesome. So that's Bateman Books.
Yeah.
All right. What's in line for you, Charlie, after 13? Have you got anything lined up? Maybe some school and some homework?
Yeah, a lot of school work, sadly. But then I am doing, at the end of the year, I'm doing Wizard of Oz. So that should be great fun.
So who's that with?
That's with National Youth Theatre.
Fantastic. And Anka, what's on the horizon for you?
A lot of schoolwork as well. Exams are coming up, so that's kind of scary. But I'm also doing Wizard of Oz with NYT National Youth Theatre, so I'm really excited for that.
I'm waiting for one of you to say that you're doing Newsies with stage antics. But anyway, carrying on. Libby!
Yeah, just school and probably Newsies, actually, yeah. It's also during the Junior Theatre Festival New Zealand, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So that'll be exciting.
And then you've got something really exciting happening in January.
Yes, I'm going away overseas to New York to represent New Zealand for Kiwi All-Stars at the Junior Theatre Festival.
Yeah. In Atlanta.
At Atlanta, yes.
Yeah, no, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And we get to hang out together for a couple of weeks in America, which will be great fun.
Yes.
So business end of things, we've heard that we can get the books wherever good books are sold, or Bateman.
Yep.
And who's telling us from you lot where we get tickets from for 13?
That would be me.
Oh, that's you this time.
Yeah. So you can get tickets from the Pump House Theatre website.
Fantastic. So that's the Pump House Theatre, and go on to What's On and you'll see 13 there, and it's on Thursday, Friday and Saturday night only, so only three shows. And we've actually got a raffle at the moment, which is only $3 a ticket or two for $5, and you go in the draw to win a family pass for Thursday night's opening show. So that's two adults, two children, or one adult and three children, or senior citizens, and you win one of our cool branded Letterman jackets in the colours of 13, and a $20 tuck shop voucher and a free print program. So jump on to Stage Antics Facebook page if you would like to get into one of those raffles. And while you're there, you may also see a little raffle going on for three of our students are actually going away to America. So Libby has a raffle that's going to be up on the Stage Antics page, and so do Lucy and Stella. So support these kids that are off to America to represent us in across there, because it's a pretty big deal. But hey, thanks guys for coming out on a Sunday night. I know the three of you've had a rehearsal all day, so you're probably very tired, and you've got a rehearsal all day tomorrow, and you're going to have a really grumpy director if you're tired in rehearsal. Lauren, we wish you all the best for your launch of Pippa and the Sheep Snatchers, and we can't wait to find out more about this horror book. And I think when that drops, you need to come back and share that with us.
I'd love
and
to.
Don't forget to get in touch with Stage Antics about putting Pippa and the Sheep Snatchers on stage for you, as she says out the corner of her mouth. Now we're going to play out with Rosetta. Has put out a new single called Make Your Mind.
I'm not in your lap. Round the corner, destined to crash. He said, do more of your favorite things. So let's meet at 10:30. I could be
psychological thriller. Speeding like a freeway killer. He moves like a knife. I want this could be the ride of your life. I said do more of your favorite things. So let's meet at 10:30. I could be your new.
Oh, that was an ad. I heard that, Adam. Nice snap.
Okay, that one's on you. No,
on me. How rude. Anyway, that was a great first start to the show.
That and was now wonderful.
We've thrown them out of the studio and we've dragged some more people in off the street.
We have.
Sounds terrible, doesn't it? No.
Yeah, yeah.
So, representing Tuatara, sorry, I'm giggling now. Tuatara Collective. Kia ora, Jason.
Kia ora.
And you've brought a friend with you to play?
I have. Or dragged a friend along. Adam Burrell. The wonderful Adam Burrell.
Kia ora, talofa, whakalofiliatu, polovanaka, and malo elele.
I am just admiring your beautiful stone. Is it stone or is it wood?
It's wood, actually.
It is absolutely stunning. So shiny.
Thank you, darling.
Yes.
It reflects my personality.
And you've got your lovely pride-inspired top on. I love it. So tell us a little bit about your upcoming almighty festival.
Yeah, kia ora. So it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having us. We have a two-week festival coming up at the Basement Theatre.
That's huge.
It is. It's awesome and really exciting to have the second Ho Festival. So the first one we delivered in 2022, and it went super well.
That feels ages ago.
Yeah, it really does.
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah, it was actually supposed to be in 2020. And then, of course, with COVID and all of those challenges we had at that time, we bumped it out and bumped it out and bumped it out again and went on finally in 2022. And then this one, our second Ho Festival, which intention was to do a biannual festival. We planned to do it last year in 2024. And of course, in a kind of funny way, we've called this festival the Ho Festival, which is a Māori word that represents many things, but in effect, it's the kind of one main one is the wind and the winds of change and how the Ho can really energize any kind of space, persons, feelings, all sorts of things. And we found that this festival has been constantly faced with changes and challenges to get it up on the floor. So we're really excited to finally bring it to the Basement over the Matariki period, which is also really awesome that we can slot it in there and celebrate the Māori New Year with beautiful mahi of art and exactly what Matariki is intended to celebrate.
Mm. So, Adam, what's your role in the festival?
Well, I am one of three fabulosities in the Survive. How would you describe? Well, there's three different parts to Ho.
Mm.
So
and Survive's in the second week.
So I am one of the performers for that.
Great.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the festival then. So week one.
Yes, so it runs over 2 weeks. So we've got five projects, really. So there's five or three kind of connected. The first show is called Tāne Rore, and that runs for the first week from Tuesday the 17th to the Saturday the 21st, and that is a celebration of Tāne Rore, who is the atua Māori of performing arts, or the kind of male-identifying energy or the masculine energy representation of Māori performing arts.
And, of course, in the past you've done the... I was going to use the word opposing, but I don't know if that's the right word.
Sister.
The sister, yeah. Of, yes.
Yeah. So in our first Hau Festival, we did Hine Terehia, who is one of the female deities of Māori performing arts. Not the only one, but one of many. And that show had six young wahine Māori. Well, actually, no, they weren't all Māori. They were six young wahine.
Yeah.
And... they were iconic in the way that we kind of explored that show. In the same way that we're doing this Tāne Rore show, it's devised, it's very focused around the men who are involved in it, and we've got a really cool cast for Tāne Rore.
So people that came and saw the sister version, would they expect a similar thing, do you think, or is it quite different?
I think it'll be similar, but it'll be different. Obviously, different energies, yep. Having five men versus six young women.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's a very similar style, and I guess the way that I, as the director and the creator of the piece, are designing Tāne Rore, there is a huge element of a parallel perspective that I'm wanting to find and wanting to kind of keep connected so that...
Do we need our tissues?
Yes, you will need your tissues for multiple reasons. It will be moving, it will be hysterically funny, it'll be challenging, and yeah, all of the emotions, I think we don't leave any untouched.
How exciting. Yeah. And then after that happens, so that's the 17th to the 21st of June, we go into the garage party. Yes. Tell us about that. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah, so in our first Hau Festival back in 2022, we did the garage party on the Saturday night at the end of the first week. But this one, because Matariki, the actual day of Matariki, falls on the Friday, we've put our garage party on that day. So Tāne Rore, the show, will still happen that night, but it'll be slightly earlier at a 6:30 start. And then at 8 p.m., we start our garage party. So garage party, naturally, we're at the basement. We're celebrating Māori performing arts. There's nothing more Māori than a garage party, and especially one with a gat and people singing along and having a good time. Great food, maybe a few drinks, plenty of non-alcoholic versions as well, but really just celebrating ourselves and the Māori New Year. And it's not the eve, so it's there's lots of things happening around the city, possibly on Matariki Eve, but I haven't actually seen many things that are actually on Matariki night. And because it's a Friday, you know, you've got Saturday morning to sleep in too. So we've got some incredible artists, and just by chance, it all happens to be women performing for us. And they're all members of the Rainbow community, which is even more special. And they're all Māori.
I think what's really special about that too is now with Pride announcing that it's not going ahead. Is it Pride? No, it's Fringe. Fringe isn't going ahead in Auckland. Yeah. So I think having some things that kind of bring in the Pride and the Fringe kind of feels really important in other ways, since the funding hasn't come through and everything for that project to go forth.
Yeah, and I guess, well, I mean, I think for me, Tuatara Collective, our big kaupapa that we as a company have established and have always kind of laid out on the table, is that our stories are the mahi that we want to do, and we have committed, I guess, to producing and making, is authentic stories told by the authentic people who should be telling those stories, namely Māori, Pacifica, or other Indigenous cultures, or the LGBTQI plus community. All of those particular groupings are not the be-all and end-all, but of course we have a personal connection to those different particular groups, and we feel like we've had stories that... Having the platform and the ability to be able to share those and make those and put them out there for people to share and experience with us is really, really high on our priority list.
Yeah, well, if people aren't driving the or steering the waka in the right way, those stories go invisible.
Yeah.
You know, and those cultures get kind of pushed aside by all the European stories that are out there and being yelled from the rooftops, right?
Yeah. Or on the flip side, which is, you know, not all the time, but there's definitely examples of it happening where organisations with more funding or boxes to tick decide to do projects without that authentic voice as the centre of their work, which therefore takes away a bit of the mana of the work, I think. And I use the word mana not specifically just for the Māori work, but for all of that work. And the sense of what mana means is to kind of uphold the integrity of the work and the satisfaction and the kind of sense of... satisfaction is the wrong word, but what it feels like to be able to share those stories as a queer person or as a Māori person or as a Pacifica person, when you know that you are authentically connected to that content and that material,
definitely.
Then it just becomes such a different experience.
So in the second week from the 24th to the 28th of June, you've got Survive. So should we hand the reins over to you to tell us what Survive's all about? Well, what is
Bertha
it about
I was
for
afraid
you?
I was petrified, babes. This is an amazing opportunity. I think Jason has summed it up that we are able to come into this environment and tell our stories authentically. This gives us the opportunity to do that. So I'm very privileged to tell my story as part of Survive.
So is Survive three separate stories? Like when you come to watch Survive, are you seeing all three shows or do you come and watch one or other?
I'll tell you what, honey, get your tickets because what a blimmin' night.
Like, so it's a night of all three?
Okay, it's three. So it's phenomenal. Bring your tissues, bring your roller coaster seatbelt because you're going to go on it. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. It's a beautiful mix of art. It's amazing. There's such a difference in variety, and I think that it's an absolutely stunning night with three very different stories, but a beautiful connection between all of them.
Now, yours has been done before. Well, it's been ahead of development season. Yeah. What about the other two? Are they fresh, or are they something that's been developed?
Yeah, the other two are purely fresh. Well, this will be their debut.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, both of the artists doing the others are, it's their first venture into a solo show. Whoa. Like a full-scale solo show. So just to go back to your question before, so we may have short-sold ourselves a little bit actually in terms of making this one ticket price for all three shows, because I think personally now, being more privy to what those works are starting to look like, honestly, the ticket price alone for one show would be valuable. You're going to get three. So it is quite a big night. You know, it starts at 7, and there'll be a little interval between each as we sort of change over the set and things. Not huge amounts of changes, but transition over. So look, we're hoping that the audience come and not really know what they're going to expect. There's definitely people coming to support each of the artists. So the other two are Nanu, who is from Rotorua. She's trained up here at South Seas and now lives in Rotorua and is a phenomenal singer and a champion of the rainbow community, especially in Rotorua, where she's doing lots of mahi down there in the music theatre space. She was the first trans actor to win a Zony Award for her role in The Colour Purple, which was pretty iconic. And
I've just clicked who Nanu is. Yeah, of course, I've seen her performing.
Oh, it's the one and only.
Yeah.
Lady Nanu.
So her show, hilariously, is called Lady Sings the Ooze, which is obviously a take on the Māori-style blues, and her catchphrase is a night of oohs and ahs and oohs and nahs.
Which is so her.
Which is so her. And the other person is Vincent Ferrane, so he is someone of Samoan descent, Auckland-born and raised dancer predominantly, but he's a trained in the performing arts, acting, singing, and he's doing his solo show called Pray, a gay expose about faith, fa'atau pati, fellas, and fellatio. So it's a bit racy there, but at the same time, he's exploring how faith has kind of shaped him as a person and how it continues to move and shift in the way that he moves and shifts as a person. So I think that will be really interesting. And of course, coming from a dance background, his piece will be told through movement as well as text and music.
Oh, this is exciting. I'm looking forward to
Adam can talk about his show, Escaping.
Tell us a bit about Escaping.
Well, I don't know where to start. It's doing a solo show was and has been just the most craziest thing. It's a whole different kettle of fish. Mm. You know, you don't have anyone else there. I feel like I'm very lucky to have had a little bit of a season and had that kind of development time. But I've been doing this for a very long time, and the whole experience has been quite different for me. And I just try every night to bring that into the show, and that's what people will get. I've never felt more vulnerable and challenged and exposed as I have with this show, but that's what it needs to be, and I'm very, very proud of it. Jason has helped me extremely with it. I'm really, really proud of it.
How exciting. Yeah. Now let's take a quick music break and we'll come back and talk about your own art journeys, the two of you. So we're going to jump over to a new release from Aro called Te Karanga.
Stays the same when everything has changed. It's a lingering pain. We should always find a way when love calls.
A beautiful piece. I love their work. It just seems to come out of nowhere, and their music videos are always so stunning.
Absolutely. Sorry, my microphone was off there for a second.
That's all right. Now, I'm going to aim my gaze back in the direction of Adam.
Your gaze?
Who, yeah.
How appropriate.
How exactly.
How appropriate.
Now, you kind of talked around how we're going to feel, and I felt you inspired me emotionally about coming to see your show, but I don't know if you actually told us what it was about.
It's about my life. It's about my life. It is, it's a slice of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I mentioned that it's been extremely different, but it is my journey about living, loving and learning. And that continues every day for all of us, right? And I think that was something that was really surprising, beautifully surprising, that I got from Wellington in response from the audience was how universal that is.
Mm.
And the different people that responded to me after it. I mean, I don't want to give too much away,
not.
But
don't
like
spoil it.
It's about my life so far.
So now you've touched on the fact that people have reached out to you after that.
Yeah.
Thinking about the collective as a whole, when you're putting these things up that do touch on people's experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly, the real, the everything, what is your way of, what's your mahi or your kaupapa around that? What do you do that makes you you you?
Yeah, thank you for the question. It's a great question, and that steers us into talking about Tuatara Collective and why we started our company, which is now a trust. We're officially a charitable trust. But our focus on our mahi and our work is hauora in the performing arts. So not only do we make work, but we think that it's vital and important to really consider the way that our health, from our mental health and well-being to our physical health and well-being, can be moved and shifted in ways that can't in any other form in the world except for through the arts, especially the performing arts. And on the flip side of that, we also notice, or I notice personally, that often that part of our humanity, our health and our whole order, especially our mental health, wasn't being very well cared for in the performing arts industry. And so we started thinking about that when we had our first project that we launched back in 2018 really, that we kind of started it out, called Little Black Beep, Little Black Bitch, mm-hmm. which was a play about...
It's after 9 o'clock, you're allowed to
say. We're good, we're good. Yay. So that was a play that I wrote and actually won an award for, that I wrote with the intention to explore suicide and mental health, particularly in our young men and young Māori men especially, who have the worst statistics still to this day in the world in that. And I kind of started thinking about how arts can make a difference, if any. And we explored a whole bunch of things. But what we ended up coming up with is the Rata Initiative. And it's a full program and kaupapa that we deliver with all of our mahi that really just puts an important focus on those elements and around. So all of our actors, all of our crew, anyone that's involved in the project, including the audience, has access to some further or more extended health professional engagement. So we have a bunch of people that we work with, from counsellors to qualified psychologists and psychiatrists, as well as wonderful people who work in Te Ao Māori that might not necessarily have a title as a healthcare professional, but do act in a similar way when we think about manaaki and we think about kaupapa Māori and auntie and fire this and you know, matua there, who all have value from a whānau perspective, I guess. And you know, when we think of Māori hauora, the foundation, one of the foundations of Māori hauora, is the octopus, or te whiki as a model, where every, you know, 8 tentacles of the octopus are all evenly split in terms of the importance of what they mean in terms of hauora. So there's obviously the tinana, our body, and the physical body, but there's also a hinengaro, our mind, there's whānau, there's our extended whānau, there's our spirituality, there's all, you know, look them up. I won't go through all of them now, but But yeah, and we found that that was one way to really not only make these pieces of art more valuable for the people involved, but they just really did tend to stretch wider and further, and yeah. Audiences started really thinking and considering their own health journeys and then talking to their communities. And then we run lots of wānanga programs, particularly for rangatahi Māori and tauranga, and they're really kind of very measurable, but quite unbelievable sometimes when you look at the outcomes of what they're doing and the feedback we get from parents and community members and the kids themselves. And so that's a huge part of what we do. So yeah. With the Ho Fest, obviously that's all part of that, and a lot of the content in Tāne Rōre is coming straight from the heart, from the men that are involved. And we'll tackle some issues and some challenging things. But I think those actors having the support around them are much more confident and willing to go deeper into some of that thought process and that conversation.
Yeah. I was just going to say too, it's funny actually that you mention Little Black Bitch because you were on our very first kick out show that Stephen and I, when we took over, and it was you and Akina. And
Matu
came in to the old studio. You were our OG first guests. Right. It was the three of you and Professor James Wenley himself, Dr. James Wenley. In our very first show. And all of your photos came up not long ago because it was our 5-year anniversary of having Kick Arts. So there you go.
So much has happened since then.
It's crazy. And see, when I think of Little Black Bitch too, I remember my biggest memory of that has to actually be your beautiful chalk painted tree that came with you everywhere, and people being allowed to leave messages. And some of those messages were just stunning and so honest and so open that audience members felt that after seeing that they wanted to share.
What better than that for a show, you know, opening that opportunity, getting that from people. That's why we do it, and that's why it's an amazing opportunity to be with a company like Tuatara, because that is there, that support is there. And as an artist, I don't know about, but for me, that's what you want to do. So if you're able to hear that back or have the opportunity to hear from the audience how that affected them or if they open up, that's
stunning.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it is stunning.
Definitely. So let's go back through the journey then. So, I mean, you've said that you work a lot with rangatahi yourself. So tell us what, where did little Jason start?
Far out.
Not rangatahi.
How long you got, girl?
Tamariki, Jason.
I was born and raised in Tauranga, Tauranga Moana. And my first performing arts, well, I started playing the piano when I was about 4. My great grandmother was a piano teacher, and my brother and I, my older brother, started learning just a silly little songs, you know, because we could. And out of my whole family, I was really the only one who enjoyed it enough to keep going and kind of mastered the piano. And on stage as an actor, I played an ugly stepsister in Cinderella at Bethlehem Primary School when I was about 7, I think, or 8. And I remember I had balloon boobs that popped at the end. That's kind of my claim to fame.
Oh, the journey.
Whereas that's where it all began.
Funny. And then, I mean, you've travelled many a path. I mean, acting, musical directing, producing.
Yeah.
Kaiako to many.
Yeah. I think, you know, as a performer, you learn. I mean, I was lucky because I broke through into the industry when I, you know, after working hard, I started in the community theatre space and moved my way up, studied some music at university, and then got a break and ended up really cutting my teeth at the Court Theatre in Christchurch with some wonderful people that I worked alongside.
Was it Alric in those days?
No, it was post-Alric, slightly. Sandra Rasmussen was the director of both the shows and Richard Merritt. Mm-hmm. But it was the actors that I got to work with as well who really, I mean, I was one of the, I still am a real observant person. You know, I learn by watching and seeing, and George Henare, Paul Barrett, Rima Tewiata were all in that first show that I did. So being able to stand on stage with artists of that caliber and watch them and see how they process things and see how they worked was really good for me, you know, and it was a great way to be able to sit there and go, okay, that's the industry and that's the expectation, so work hard. And then naturally being a pianist, you know, often I'd get asked to help out bashing away some notes for people and learning things that led
all
me
guys
into the
and
world
dolls. Auckland Theatre Company.
Yeah, led me into musical directing. Yeah. Well, it was actually stepping out first with ATC as Jeffrey, tap dancing and then sitting on the piano. But, you know, it's funny how that all comes about. And then I think I just got to that point where I was like, oh, I feel like I want to direct as well and paint the whole picture. You know, so you step out the front and then... Yeah, I've been lucky that I've had the opportunity to be able to do that. I've worked with lots of schools, and that's where the teaching and the education space comes in. But yeah, I mean, I like all of it. I haven't been on stage for a while.
I was just going to say, when's your next time back on stage? Because I see you are looking at remounting a certain very big thing.
Yeah, that one probably won't be me on stage. Right. But I do have Battle Chorus. So Battle Chorus is me and Ruta Nespuna, or our newest one's two shows coming up. It's with Jodie Langdon, who's from Tauranga. And Battle Chorus is as performing as anything.
So that's the big, you fill the theatre with people and you teach them choir songs and you all sing, right?
Kind of, yeah. So it's a bit more than that. So you
I simplified it a bit.
No, I love it.
There's another gig, which I won't name particularly, but it is as a choir-based gig where audiences come and sing a song. Our one is similar, but it's called Battle Chorus, and we have two hosts and we split the audience in half, and half go with me, the other half go with my colleague, and then we, in 25 minutes, we learn 12 songs each, and then we come back together.
What
and
the
hell? That's a lot.
But it's just the choruses. It's just the choruses.
Okay. And are they known songs?
They're absolutely known songs. So our next one coming up as part of the Auckland Arts Festival, Auckland Cabaret Festival, sorry, is disco.
How exciting! Ooh,
yeah. So it's all the best
Mama
bangers
Mia,
of disco.
Yeah. Here I go again.
Maybe that one, maybe not.
Dancing Queen.
But yeah, it's a huge amount of fun. And yeah, that's ticking off my performing boxes at the moment. But there are other things in the pipeline that, who knows, might get me back on there. But I'm quite enjoying making and watching and coaching and being able to create
awesome
work like the Ho Fest.
All right, let's go back to little tiny Adam. Where did it all start for you? Who threw you into the limelight? God. Was it grandma or was it dad or mom?
It was Mrs. Penny from Owairaka Primary School as we drove past on the way to the studio right around the corner. And I was a sunshine.
Oh.
I was the sunshine.
Did she think you were a guiding light or?
Well, I hope so. I think so.
Did you ever tell her that it was her that started this? Did you ever have the chance to tell her?
I never got the chance, but I wish I did. She was just phenomenal. I mean, we have teachers like that. My high school drama teacher was very much like that. But I've been doing it since then. It was that bug, and I just loved it. It's all I went to school for, honey. So I did all throughout school. That was just my main love, and yeah.
You must have lots of students like that down in Tauranga where you teach, Jason, kids that come to school because of you, because of the arts.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think there's not even just in Tauranga, but anywhere. Yeah, and there's kids that maybe not just in that kind of phrase, but come to school and feel seen in the performing arts space or in the arts world, where they might not feel seen in other parts of the school, where they still participate in things, but they don't get the same kind of sense of identity and belonging that they do when they come into the room with a bunch of other
people. Well, especially our neurodiverse students and that. Like, I think about all the kids that I know that maybe have processing or dyslexic or can't do the reading, so they're constantly not getting good marks in the academic subjects, you know. So our kind of part of the school is the safe place where they are extremely talented, and it actually doesn't matter.
Honey, it took me 40 years to realise that. And that's exactly, I can relate to that so strongly. Mm. And I think that's what it was for me. It gave me that opportunity to be up to do. We need to do, right? Can't sit there and learn maths and all that. My brain doesn't really work like that.
Mm.
So that always gave me the opportunity. I mean, one part of why I love it, but it certainly was that. So I concur with that.
Yeah.
A lot. Mm.
Crazy. So tell us a little bit more about
Adina Delight.
Oh.
Are we seeing Adina in Escaping, or is it?
Well, you see Adina like you've never seen her before. So, I mean, I very much go into how she came about for me, which is really weird, actually, doing drag, because doing drag, you kind of want to keep that mask. You know, you want to keep that fabulosity or that, you know. So it was, for me, a big step to kind of go into the backstory of her and how she came about and what that meant to me. And, yeah, so it's different.
Mm.
This is different to performing as Adina.
Yeah.
That's all I would say about that. Yeah.
So, I mean, you've done a lot of shows, productions that are written. I mean, this is quite devising. So how's that been different for you? I mean, I suppose
I
you
love,
can't create your own script, for starters.
Yeah, I love it. To be honest, I've had a bit of experience with devising of shows. Like, I've been in quite a few shows that have come from nothing that we've created, and I am so thankful for that, to have that opportunity, because it's so different to get in a book and go learn it. It's very different, and it was so challenging, just because it's so close to the bone, babe, you know. It's your life, dramatized, of course, but it's your life. So it has been a very different experience, and this show in Auckland will be a whole new beast to what it was in Wellington, and I just can't wait to show people in Auckland. It's very cool, but I literally am opening up my soul.
Oh, how exciting. So what's next on the cards for Tuatara specifically? Have you got plans for...
Yes, there's always plans.
That was a huge
one. That was a deep breath,
Jason. Yeah, I was looking at that. he sucked it in.
We do.
I'm not sure what I can say yet.
We are. There's lots of things bubbling away. We have a few festivals coming up in the second half of the year. Those programs haven't quite been announced yet, but there's certain things happening in Tauranga and happening in other parts of the country. We do have a big project that I'm really excited about that we did a second one this year called For the Fallen, and it's a project devised that's all around the Māori Battalion.
Yes.
Yeah, and we do it in situ in a restaurant space. So it's kind of like a theatre, restaurant, cabaret type environment, but the actors are all in uniform, and the monologues are all based on Alistair Te Arika Campbell's collection of poems on the Māori Battalion. So it's extremely moving and really powerful, and then we've written our own ones for all the female in cast. So we've got, this year we had 20 in the cast, and we toured it to the Whangamata RSA, we did it at the Waihi Beach RSA.
Wow, that must have been so cool.
Really neat, and the audiences kind of lap it up, and I mean, all five performances, we had roaring standing ovations at the end. One example. And I guess why I want to share this is because this is the importance of the health and the holder. We had one of our boys who was a wonderful actor, but he also went deep into the characters, and he had one of the meatier monologues, which is, as you can imagine, when we're talking about Anzac, there's some pretty horrific stories. And anyway, he ended up having, you know, getting a bit choked up and had a little tear. And this woman, without a beat, she would have been 60 or so, leapt out of her chair and ran to him and gave him a hug right in the middle of the show, you know, and just kind of gave him a big cuddle. And it was so cute, and but also necessary, but also human. And it was just a really powerful moment that we all kind of went, that's why we do this.
And I think, again, it's really important that stories like that for our youth, especially now with an emphasis in schools on Aotearoa histories. What a better way to learn history about New Zealand than doing something like that, where they're stepping into the shoes of those young people that went off to war, that fought on our behalf, the families who had people that didn't come home, all those things. Yeah. Like, what a fantastic... I mean, it was similar to the four kids that I took across to Australia to do the combined Anzac service, you know. And again, they got to meet two of our amazing war veterans and tell their story. And it was beautiful to join actually with the Australians and celebrate that connection, the one time, I suppose, that New Zealand and Australia didn't fight to be the better. Actually fought alongside. All right, so coming to the end of our interview, we've got to come to the business end because we've got to get as many people along to the basement over these 2 weeks. So give us all the info we need. How do they find out? Where do they get tickets? Where do they go?
So the easiest way to get tickets is to go to our website, www.tuatara-collective.com, and click on the Ho Festival there. You get more information about all three projects. Three meaning Survive is one of those, and then in Survive you'll learn about the three projects within Survive. Tickets are range between $17 and $31 for Tane Dore and for Survive, and the garage party is free.
Wow, you did that perfect timing.
that was rehearsed.
My lord. Yeah.
Tane Dore runs from Tuesday the 17th to the 21st, Saturday the 21st of June, and the garage party is on Friday the 20th of June.
Until midnight, when we all turn into pumpkins.
That's right.
Or Cinderella.
Oh, we didn't actually talk about the artists there. I need to talk about the artists for our garage party. I mentioned that we have all women, all queer, but we have Liana Frangipani, who is a beautiful... she's of Niuean descent and Māori descent. She is well-known in the, those circles, has a beautiful voice, has original content. She was Miss Niue, New Zealand, for a while, so she's, she still holds that crown. And she's wonderful. Then we have DJ Aisha, who's coming up from Tauranga, who will do a couple of sets, R&B, 90s R&B, kind of dirty R&B pop. And then
I wondered where he was going with that.
Then the incredible Bonnie Hurunui, who is the front woman of Whitechapel Jack, is coming to join Aisha, and we'll be doing a kind of duo acoustic kind of spot. And then the last hour and a half of the night is Daughters of Ali, who are two sisters, who are two of my best friends, so I call them in. but they live down in Ngārua Wahia, and they're coming up specially for the night, and they are the best covers band and will rock the night to the end with some great dancing in the basement. And then Survive is the following week, 24th to the 28th of June, Tuesday to Saturday. And, yeah, that is Pray... Lady Sings the Ooze and Escaping.
So get amongst it, guys. So my recommendation is that we go to on the 20th at 6:30 to see Tane first. Then we come stay for the garage party, have a great boogie on.
Boom.
And then a few days later, we come back to the basement and we get down with the three others.
Absolutely.
And Survive.
That's a plan. That sounds like a
I think that's a pretty good plan.
Yeah.
You got to come and see it all.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Don't hang your basket in one little place.
Get amongst it.
Get amongst it.
I also didn't mention, but I should have, George Henare, one of New Zealand's, the, you know, most iconic actor in New Zealand, is... our secret special star in Tānerore.
Not so secret anymore.
It's not secret
but
anymore.
I was wondering if you were going to let that out.
So how exciting.
There's a Kick Arts exclusive there, darling.
That he's come on board having, you know, his last thing was playing Dumbledore in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child in Melbourne. Prior to that, he was the Sultan in Aladdin touring Australia.
For how many years was he in Aladdin? My goodness.
Before that, he was in every single play in Aotearoa of worthy comment.
Amazing. Well, we wish you all the best for that, and we look forward to having you back, not 5 years apart this time, but it's kind of time for us to wrap up the show. So thanks so much, guys, for being here on a Sunday night, and we are going to play out this evening with AI featuring Rhea, and it is He Piko He Tuna, and I hope that you go out there and
kick some arts.
Kami michi te panna, kanga horo te ota ota. Koinei te wa chika hoki atu waiki to tawa hunga. Heroa te haere, ma kata I te mamaira. Engari ka utonu, kia ono ano taua. I te pōuri huri, karere takua noha ki a koe. I te pōtamo tamo, kia kota I hai te kōkia te. Feel guided, although uncertain, the stars and moon will guide the way. Our connection is true and here to stay. With everything so pristine, from the land to the shore, gonna make you my queen. Now I honor with the core.
Blah, 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 let's go kick some art, 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 go kick. kids, I'm